I'm Brian Tetta, executive producer of The View. It's Monday, and I'm here with George Lopez, his daughter Mayan Lopez, and our very own Anna Navarro. This is Behind the Table. All right, welcome Mayan and George and Anna Navarro. Very excited to have you. And Chacha, of course, is not an Anna podcast.
Does Chacha have her own Instagram account?
Yes, of course.
X. I gotta start following her. Well, she's looking at me. I gotta follow her.
If you guys, she has her little head on
there's
the table.
There's pictures
and on
of
his
you
lap, and it's
in Chacha's Instagram account.
Yeah, apparently, I wasn't tagged in any of those pictures. But
you didn't collaborate. You had a collab with Chacha. That's
with
the way
their hair next to Chacha, they couldn't tell which was which.
Yeah. I like the hair. But all right, here we go. So, George, you and Anna have been friends for a very long time. Can either of you remember how you first met?
Of course we can. We were drunk.
This seems to be a running theme.
Yeah. There's nobody more fun when with Anna. Chums and sees me at the Hard Rock in Fort Lauderdale around there. And then she comes. And you know, like a lot of friends, they never show up, which is very true. Like, oh, I can't make it last minute. Not only does she show up, she stays afterwards. And we have some deep, funny, great, some of the best conversations I've had are with Anna.
I've seen her at rap parties occasionally when she's had a couple, and you get very emotional because you're kind of, you know, she's a little cutting, and she like, you
hey.
Grabbed me by the cheeks and told me how much you loved me, which I was very touched by.
I don't remember it, by the way.
All right. Well, Mayan, we talked about your relationship with your dad on the show today and
yes.
how after years of not speaking, you were able to repair it.
Mm-hmm.
You talked about the show being therapeutic for you. Tell us more about that. How does that, like, does it feel like therapy sometimes when you're doing these scenes?
Yeah, therapy and, again, like, traumatic at the same time. No, I think, you know, there's no rule book on how to do a sitcom with the person that had hurt you in life in front of millions of people in a live studio audience. But I think, you know, it's really important because I think our relationship can represent a lot of relationships of having the time apart, coming together, but also as you grow older, you start to see your parents as people and kind of remember that they were people before they had you. And, you know, if as you go, like for me, I'd gone through these milestones in life and I'd realized like, oh, you know, maybe I can understand where he was.
Well, you know,
I have some empathy, but I think in the show, you know, going back, it's not always easy, but I think it's helping people and it's helping our community. And I think that's really important.
Mayan became, traumatized. I became a better golfer.
All the spare time.
Yeah. No, but you know something, on a serious note, we used to talk a lot about this.
We did.
So
you know how I felt. I mean, I was very honest with you.
You were. I think you were very hurt and you really wanted to have a better relationship. It blows my mind to see how far you all have come. It blows my mind that you've gone from being a very dysfunctional family to now people asking you for advice. Mm-hmm. On how to make up as a family.
But I also want to say that those Zooms that we did where you were on were really the first times that Anne and mine were in the house. That time we did that. So I would hold
live.
You and the conversations that we had a bit for putting me on that.
Oh, look at that.
On that path.
I will tell you, though, I never expected those conversations we were having to end up with Anne on your lap on Christmas.
Yeah, there's a few that, you know.
Well, let's talk about that because, all right.
It's never easy to have your ex-wife sit on your lap.
Mayan,
well, it's not going to, hold on. It's not going to help you find a new wife. Like, I'm at this point, you know, last week, you cannot, you, all
you know,
have,
I'm not looking. You're the same person that told me to teach my dogs to dial 911.
Well, yeah, because I told you. You're going to die and there's going to be nobody there and you're going to smell and you're going to you have to teach your dogs to dial 911.
Yes.
You can't just hang around in the bed with an emotional support guitar.
Thank you.
And she's the one who coined the phrase, my emotional support guitar.
Yes.
It's in the room right now.
I remember one time I FaceTimed him and it was dark. I'm like, what are you doing? And I was like, is anyone with you? I think it was his birthday. He was filming Blue Beetle. And he's like, I'm not alone. I'm like, well, who's with you? He's like, my guitar.
I did coin the phrase, your emotional
really
guitar.
And I have to tell you this. I have a hard time traveling without it.
Yeah.
So it's true. Like, I believe that you might have put that on me. But also, the guitar goes back to a time when I was like 15. You know, music was always important to me. You know, I loved rock and roll and all that stuff. But I sold flowers when I was 15 to buy a guitar with my buddy Ernie. So Ernie passed away 2 years ago. And we bought these amps. I bought mine one, these pig nose amps. I saw Jimmy Page with one in the 70s. And when he passed and I went to his house, he had his amp in his bedroom, and so did I, after like 40 years. I mean, yeah, that guy was my first friend. And then you realize once he's gone that he had put me on all the paths that I have. He put me on the path with the guitar. He put me on the path with golf. He got me to go to concerts, and he got me to do stand-up. None of those things were my idea.
And George, you've had a lot of loss lately, because, I mean, Eddie Van Halen was also like a brother to you.
Yeah, that was another one. That was tough because, you know, as a huge fan, but also, you know, reclusive. You know, his wife said, call him up and ask him to go to dinner. He's always home. He was always home, and I was always home. And we had dinner at La Loggia right there in our family friend restaurant. And we sat down there, and after 5 minutes, we just became great friends.
Yeah, they're like brothers, really.
And I was one of the four people that he FaceTimed there toward then. You know,
what do you think? Can I ask
you? There's no timing and things. You know, I believe that Valerie Bernelli and Eddie Van Halen would have been back together as a couple. I was at that last Thanksgiving. I don't think I've ever told anybody this last Thanksgiving, and they had a lot of love for each other. And I think, you know, as time mine says, time, you know, helps that stuff. And I believe that they actually went to my car. It's in Valerie's book. They went to my car when it was raining, and spent like teenagers spend an hour in the car talking. Mm-hmm.
Is it possible that you and Anne could get back together?
Please don't. Like, please.
Yeah, no, I think.
No.
I don't think Anne can. No, she doesn't want me. No.
No, but listen, about you and Eddie Van Halen being recluses. And then, but on the outside, nobody would think.
No.
That. So what do you think that is? How do you turn it around like that for the public?
I think it's just what you do. I think even Ed, I saw Ed where Ed was just happy playing guitar and being at home. You know, I have to, you know, do these things, but I'm pretty good. Yeah, I'm pretty good at being out because I understand what it's like to be out. And then when I go home, you know, I'm home a lot. But I don't feel lonely at the house necessarily. Mm.
That's a comedian thing, though, too, kind of being introspective a little bit.
Absolutely.
And there's that darkness. Now, Maya, you're a comedian now, too. Do you feel like you have that also or not really?
Yeah, that I also inherited.
Yeah. But, like, lucky you.
Passing it around. Yeah, I mean, you know, I think it's the Lopez versus Lopez, not like a foreign concept to me, because the first show was loosely based on his life. And if he didn't become a stand-up. And this is kind of a version of myself of... Like, it's a fictionalized version of, you know, what we had gone through. And that was a really difficult, you know, divorce is hard in any family. But to have it, one at 15, which there's an argument of, is it harder to have your parents divorce when you were younger or when you're older? Because you know what it's like when they were married. But to have it be public, this adds a different layer.
Are there places you guys won't go? You don't tell me what they are. Mm-hmm. But I mean, are there things you do kind of keep off the show,
or
do you just use everything?
Yet.
I think there's a lot of things that would make everything uncomfortable. So, you know, for the main most part of the show, you know, there's enough in the stuff that's almost, you know, at the top, anxiety and whether somebody speaks Spanish or not, or, you know, things with parents and stuff like that. But
that was such a relatable show, Lopez versus Espanol.
Mm-hmm.
This was a show where Mayan is stuck in the middle. You know, she's everybody who all the Anglos assume she speaks Spanish because her name is Mayan Lopez, and the Latinos think she's not Latina enough because she doesn't speak good Spanish. And that happens to so many people I know.
Mm-hmm.
So I love the way that you are touching on those subjects.
Well, there's some huge guest stars on the show, and I want to talk about them because last season Rita Moreno was on, and this season Cheech Marin will be there. What's it been like to work with these legends? I mean, you know these people, but you're meeting
Chong.
Yeah.
Cheech and Chong. I don't think they've done much together. That's the one that's on tonight. But Cheech and Chong. But, you know, I met Cheech in 81. I was, you know, like 19. And then I met 20. I met Chong years later. So we've been friends that long. And, I mean, Cheech is like, you know, one of my idols, but also one of my very good friends. And, you know, they've been around the family forever. So mine's seen everybody around the house.
You get a discount on the CBD gummies?
Yeah.
For some reason, I get advertising for them every time I'm on social media.
Yeah. That's your algorithm. That's what it is.
I actually had them sign a bong for me.
That's amazing.
Which I call it now Cheech and Bong. That's, no, I think even having those huge guest stars, especially in the Latino community, it's like they really, it's blessing us. And it's, you know, I think it's important for the people who watch and for them to be supportive of the show. It means that they're supportive of what we're doing and the art that we're doing.
I heard Rita gave you some advice.
Yeah, she did. We bonded because of, you know, she was telling me to watch her documentary and I did. And it was, she said, what you do here is very reminiscent of when I worked with, you know, Marlon.
Right.
And how, you know, that
Marlon
brought,
Brando.
Yeah, Marlon Brando. And to you know, to put that work in there. She was, you know, she said to me, like, leave that little girl in your room, you know, to tell her that she's okay and that she's safe. And, you know, but I'm going to go do work now. And I think she came really at a perfect time for me because I was very much struggling of separating myself from the character.
Sure.
Because I couldn't tell which was which.
But also, you had to learn a method in acting that very few people get to do in movies. There's nothing like a sitcom. Multi-cameras, you know, you have to remember there's a camera on you the whole time. And you have to be funny and, you know, hit your marks and all that stuff.
And you guys have an audience, right?
Yeah.
You're filming in front of an audience?
I think mine's done an incredible job of that. I mean, I was, you know, young, new at it too. And I had a coach with me, but mine has gotten better much faster than I did in my first show.
We'll be back in a moment. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing? Is it running on high? Is it drained or somewhere in between? Sometimes life gets so busy and we forget to check in with ourselves. With social gatherings picking up, it's easy to spread ourselves thin. I've been thinking a lot about finding the right balance. How much socializing is just right for you, and how do you recharge? Maybe you're a social butterfly or someone who needs a bit more alone time. Therapy has been a game changer for many. It's not just about addressing major trauma. It's about gaining self-awareness, positive coping skills, and learning to set boundaries. It's about becoming the best version of yourself. So if you're considering therapy, why not give BetterHelp a try? It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You just fill out a brief questionnaire and you'll be matched with a licensed therapist. Plus, you can switch therapists anytime at no additional charge. Take care of your social battery, and if therapy is on your mind, BetterHelp is here for you. Cheers to self-discovery and a healthier you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/view to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/view.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts. Step into the world of Hollywood like never before with Melissa Rivers' Group Text podcast. Melissa, renowned for her red carpet expertise and storytelling prowess, invites you to join her and her famous friends for hilarious and heartfelt conversations. From discussing the latest binge-worthy TV shows, navigating the highs and lows of life, and dissecting celebrity fashion, there is never a dull moment. With exclusive stories from special guests like Chelsea Handler, Cheryl Hines, your favorite reality stars, and deep dives into intriguing topics like the Where is Wendy Williams documentary, this podcast offers an insider's look into the glitz and glam of Tinseltown. It's not just Melissa's podcast. It's a collective experience where you're invited to join the conversation. So if you've ever wanted a peek behind the Hollywood curtain, subscribe to Melissa Rivers' Group Text podcast now on your favorite platform. Get ready for laughter, tears, gossip. In other words, unforgettable moments that'll keep you coming back for more. Don't miss out. This is one Group Text you won't want to exit.
So last week we were talking about the Golden Bachelor, you know, so it's like this old guy and he found love and he got married
like
and now they're filing divorce. So I'm wondering, are you willing to be like the first Golden Brown Bachelor?
Yeah, like a honey Golden Brown Silver Bachelor.
That would be amazing.
Well, you think they'd do it? No, they wouldn't do it.
What, in Spanish?
No. They, would they allow me to be the Golden Bachelor? No, that's a serious show.
Maybe. No, I think that there's a market there.
You'd be quite the catch.
Yeah.
I mean, look at that hair. Can you imagine people running their fingers through that hair?
No, that's why I stay home all the time. but it does become. I mean, I was identifiable just for me, but then now when people see the hair, I mean, even the lady at the desk at the hotel is like, "Great hair, inappropriate." but I mean, the hair is becoming its own thing.
Yeah. Are we ever cutting this hair?
No.
Does your hair have an Instagram account like Cha-Cha?
My left shoe does, but I don't think my hair does. Somebody does my
Maybe
left
we
shoe.
Could cut it for charity.
Eventually, yes. When there's enough war in the world, I'll come to me. You can have it.
Well, speaking of that, you wanted to get their opinion on politics, so why don't you ask some questions?
Yeah, let's talk about what's happening with the Latino vote. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm really interested. You know, you guys live on the other coast from me, and what the hell is happening with the Latino vote and Latinos shifting towards Trump?
Oh, the self-loathing whole thing. I there's a thing where if you get here, sometimes you want to not be reminded of what you were, mm-hmm. and I think it's easy because it's almost a silent. When you go on that booth, nobody really knows, you know, who, and there's very few that come out. But I think when you get it's easy to go the other way. I think for Latinos.
And Mayan, what do you think about the youth vote? Because I mean, you're Latina and mm-hmm. very young. You're in your 20s.
Yeah, you know, I think it was up in the last election I was looking. It was like 48%, but still like only 16.2 million Latinos like were voting when it was so many more. I think with the young vote, I think a lot of people in my generation feel like their vote doesn't matter and their voice is just going to get lost and they don't feel like there is going to be a sense of control. You know, we've lived through many these traumatic events and we haven't seen like how they've been handled. And I think hopefully, you know, I think that this is the election of the century and I think of the most important election in our lifetime. And it's scary. And I, you know, I hope that we are able to go out there and I believe they will. But I think it's sometimes the issue of like, well, my vote doesn't matter.
Your vote counts if you vote and it doesn't. It counts if you don't vote.
Right.
So like, I live in a blue state. So, you know, Biden's going to win. And it's like, no, you know, you have to.
No. And, you know, I was never, you know, most people in the industry don't come out against one side or the other. But, you know, as a comedian, I think I lost a tremendous amount of my fan base and my material took a different tone. But I'm the guy, you know, I'm the guy that has been talking about this my whole career. And then all of a sudden a guy shows up and he's unfavorable to the people that I've been talking about my whole life. I had to speak out. I mean, I was not. There's no way I was going to be silent. I mean, and to have your own people come at you with hate yes. because you're talking about, I mean, it's just all of that.
Like PR people must have been against it. I mean, you took on Trump in your comedy.
There is no consistency in the Latino community. There's different languages. A lot of us don't get along. And there's never been an actual cohesive community. And that's part of it. Listen, if you have sectors of Latino communities that think they're better than the others, how can you all come together?
George, a couple of months ago, all three of us were at an event with Kamala Harris, with yes. Vice President Kamala Harris. Mm-hmm. And when I first met you, you told me you were very good friends with her mom.
Right.
And I thought you were drunk because it's like her mom was like a scientist, like
beautiful
a like cancer
incredible.
Researcher. And I'm mm-hmm. like, okay, George has got to be
an amazing person.
And then Vice President Harris told me. Yes. George was very good friends with her mom. So tell us the story.
You know, in Oakland, when Barack was running in 2007, I was going, you know, during the theater. So at the Paramount Theater, I met Kamala in San Francisco, and then I was going to go to Oakland. She brought Doug. They came down. She brought her mom a couple of times. I saw her a few times. There's a great picture of me and her mom sitting on the couch holding hands. But we would stay out there, and we would talk about raising kids and about education and all that stuff. And then they would say, I remember them going into the doorwell and going, the doorframe and going, come on, leave them alone. And it's like, no, it's like 3:30 in the morning in Oakland at the Paramount. And we'd sit back there. I mean, it's beautiful. I mean, I loved her. She was amazing. Amazing. So, you know, going back to a 2008, which politics were very different, you know, there was a lot of personal relationships, especially with people in Hollywood, not so much that people come to people in Hollywood anymore. But it was that real that they were there and seeing me. And consistently seeing me, and then I was always around her and happy to be around her.
You know, before we talked on the show about the lack of Latino representation in Hollywood, and you mm-hmm. just referenced Hollywood again. One place where there was representation that was terrific, and unfortunately it happened during COVID, was Blue Beetle. You mentioned it. Mm-hmm. That movie is awesome.
Yeah, thank you.
And is there any news on that? Anything? Because now, you know, after you're in the new James Gunn universe. Do you know anything? Anything you can share?
There is... I believe the Blue Beetle has been asked to join the DCU.
Okay.
So I would say that, you know, if you know anything about Latinos, rarely do we go alone. So allegedly, I would be the one, because I'm the Doc Brown of the Blue Beetle.
You really are, yeah.
So I would be the one.
You got the hair for it, too, now.
And actually, yeah. I saved his life, I don't want to say. I threw my chapulín at him in my truck. I told that girl, hit the brake, and it saved his life.
It did.
But the Blue Beetle... is I mean, people are seeing it, but I mean, the one thing that I wish it would have had an opportunity to be to have publicity and a launch, because it really is that good. I mean, what movie is that? It's a DC movie with all the explosions and all that, but yet tender and heart
family.
And crying.
Yes.
People cry there, and I mean, it's beautiful. There's some other things working in the DCU that involve the Blue Beetle that won't necessarily be a movie.
Well, it caught you in the middle. It was COVID and the strike, so
yes.
You couldn't do any promotion
Double.
For it.
No,
you couldn't have a release. Brian loves superhero movies. They're not my thing. Mm-hmm. I love that movie. But I remember talking to you when you were filming it.
Yep.
And I didn't know you were filming this movie, or I didn't put two and two together, and I look at you, and you had like blue nails.
Black nails. You called me up and said, are your nails black? You saw me on a show, and I said, yes, they're black, and then I had a rat's tail in the back that I had to hide. But also, you know, like Elpida Carrillo is not necessarily a comedic actress, and Adriana, who really is just amazing in the movie, was very dramatic and action, where grandma puts her hair down and
it's great.
You know, she was like a revolutionary.
Yeah.
But, you know, both the writer, Gareth, and then the director, Angel, had history in comic books and had history in that world, because you just can't get somebody who's a good writer who doesn't know what characters and what superheroes go with what superheroes and Marvel and the difference between
Marvel and DC
and DC
all that.
And
yeah.
All that stuff. Yeah.
No, I loved it. And he's a star, I think. He's going to be.
Cholo, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's great. So I knew Cobra Kai.
Yeah, and for him,
too.
I mean, it really did kind of. I mean, and people that see the movie, but they don't see the actors.
Right.
And they would have seen us in the publicity.
We would have had the whole cast
show.
Here if you would have been able to. I would have loved
that. We still should.
It's
going to keep going. So
you tried to do the screening at the White House.
I'm still working on it. I literally asked them last week about it, because Cinco de Mayo is coming up.
We'll screen our show at the White House.
There we go.
We'll screen it in front of the White House.
We'll put on
a
sheet
out there. Let's get Kamala to screen it. The White House,
I would love to do that. We'll go.
All
right. Well, listen, thank you guys so much for joining us. It's over already. We're a short podcast. But,
and they don't let us cuss in English or Spanish.
No, that's true. If we leave in all the cussing, it goes longer. George and Mayan Show, Lopez versus Lopez, airs Tuesday nights on NBC. Tomorrow, I'll be back with Alyssa. Thank you all for listening,
but
and thanks for being here.
Thank you for being such a good friend to me and to my family.
I love you.
Even though you live 3,000 miles away, I just want to say,
you
nobody really understands our relationship, but you are very dear to me. And I love you for always being there for when I needed you.
Yeah. Okay, now you're going to make me cry.
Estamos los dos hechos unos
llorones. Yeah. Yeah, we are.
All right, I got to look that up. Thank you guys for listening. See you tomorrow.
Step into the world of Hollywood like never before with Melissa Rivers Group Text Podcast. Melissa, renowned for her red carpet expertise and storytelling prowess, invites you to join her and her famous friends for hilarious and heartfelt conversations. From discussing the latest binge-worthy TV shows, navigating the highs and lows of life, and dissecting celebrity fashion, there is never a dull moment. With exclusive stories from special guests like Chelsea Handler, Cheryl Hines, your favorite reality stars, and deep dives into intriguing topics like the Where is Wendy Williams documentary, this podcast offers an insider's look into the glitz and glam of Tinseltown. It's not just Melissa's podcast. It's a collective experience where you're invited to join the conversation. So if you've ever wanted a peek behind the Hollywood curtain, subscribe to Melissa Rivers Group Text Podcast now on your favorite platform. Get ready for laughter, tears, gossip. In other words, unforgettable moments that'll keep you coming back for more. Don't miss out. This is one group text you won't want to exit.